ופועל חוזר בו ואפילו בחצי היום. פועל יכול לחזור בו ואפילו בחצי היום. And I would like to see the limits of that particular principle. First of all, does it apply only to an employee? That is, someone who's an employee-employer relationship. A manservant, someone who works for a master, part of a large plantation, or something like that, or a clerk in the store. Or, for example, is it a more general principle that you can never have a contract that binds you to specific performance? That is, having a contract that obligates you to do something, as opposed to sharing in profits or sharing in, rather than profits, or sharing in income or something like that, or transmittal of property and so on. In other words, can a contract which obligates you to do something be a binding contract with penalty clauses and so on? So a good test case for that would be, and that's what we'll discuss tonight at length, the issue of something like medical group practice. Can a group of doctors get together and sign a contract which obligates them to share their medical practice so that when the patients come in and one doctor treats them, for example, then they have to share the fees amongst all of them, and so on and so forth. This is an interesting test case because it raises fundamental issues of contract law and property law and the basis and the bases of contract law. So let's start from the beginning on that. So the first thing that we'll just go through this material page by page. The first tshuva that I have here is the response of Rav Avraham Bar Yitzchak Av Beit Din of in Provence. He was sort of the generation before the Raiva, the teacher of the Raiva, and so on. The old law is al shutafim. She has new shutfut. Suppose we have some partners who agreed on a partnership contract. Shekol mashi yavichu yiyad emtza. That all income, all profits, should be divided equally. Good evening. Heich yitkayim tna'a. How is it possible to make this kind of a... we're discussing medical group practice. How is this possible? How is it possible for such a contract to be binding? Because ha ein adam matne davar shelo ba'olola. It's a principle in many places in the Gemara that says that you can't sell something which does not yet exist. Does not yet exist doesn't mean that it does not yet physically exist. Does not yet exist can also mean that it has not yet come into your possession. So it's subject to either interpretation, and it's a principle of the law in the Gemara, in the Talmud, and it's equally well a principle in Roman law, that you cannot sell something which either does not yet exist or does not yet possess. In other words, the idea of the sale of futures, Chicago Board of Trade, or in general commodity futures or stock futures or options on futures or futures on options on futures and all these various different kinds of financial instruments that you have today are not admitted into classical law, whether it's in the Talmudic law or Roman law. There are two possible interpretations as to why this is so. The simplest one is that in classical legal doctrine, one wanted to simply deal with real physical objects. Anything that was abstract was sort of not subject to contract, to ownership, to sale, and so on. One might also say that perhaps the systems of law were a little afraid of the abuses that would come into play with the sale for futures, but at any rate, that's a principle. And if there is such a principle, how can people engage in a contract to share income where that income does not yet exist? How can you have a partnership on services? How can doctors, for example, get together and agree that they will share on the fees that they will collect from all of their patients if this is not a tangible object, but only payment for a service, and that service hasn't even yet been performed, and the patients haven't yet come into the office?
How is it, why particularly service, if it was a business that you had not yet manufactured the items?
Well, if you had a business which had real objects, raw material, for example, then you could jointly own the raw material. Mm-hmm. And then when you sold that raw material, you would jointly own the money that you got for the raw material. In other words, the issue is going to be, we'll see that the Rambam, for example, in a bit, we will see that the Rambam maintains that you cannot have contract for services, but you can have a contract for raw material, mm-hmm. or objects.
And for objects then are made into other objects?
And then when they're made into the other objects, mm-hmm. and they're eventually sold, you'll jointly share the increase in value. Okay. So that's legitimate, mm-hmm. according to all positions. The question is whether this can all apply to services. So the Im Tomar, and if you're going to say the Machnu Yadayim Lahadadi, that each person is selling his hand, so to speak, to the others. That's all nice and fine for profits, which you can say are actually the results of physical and manual labor. Other forms of profits, profits from trade, profits from specialized knowledge, that doesn't seem to be covered by this type of an explanation. So, tshuva, v'shutafim shehitnu shutvut, partners who have agreed on a partnership, afilu memitziya, even if it's talking about sharing an object that they will find, and making a partnership to be joint beachcombers, and whatever they find on the beach, they will share jointly. Even though we have such a principle that you can't sell something that does not yet exist, tuna'o kayam, this kind of a stipulation is valid. Ki kol echad v'echad na'aseh sachir upo'el l'chavero. Each and every one of them has, in a sense, engaged himself to be a servant of the others. And just as a person can undertake to be a servant of somebody else, can undertake to be an employee of somebody else, these people can each undertake to be employees of one another.
How will it be if one is more qualified than the other? Can you get a bigger share?
That's up to free agreement on all on the parties concerned.
Even though
they can decide how much you want to pay a more skilled worker a higher salary so that they could agree to with a stipulation as to what the share is. Okay. The Gemara in Bar Matzia says that if a master hires a man specifically to go combing on the beach for lost objects, then the worker can't claim that whatever he found for himself just accidentally while he was on the job. So as long as he is in the employee of his employer, whatever he finds belongs to the employer and not to him. The Amwinan Matziat Po'el La'atzmo. When the halacha says that whatever a worker finds belongs to him, not to the employer, b'medvarim amurim, what this is only talking about the case is mancha amar lo nacheshimi aderimi. It's only if he says you do some weeding for me, or do some cultivation, do some hoeing for me. So if in the course of going out to the field to do some weeding, he notices that on the street there's a lost object, then obviously if he picks it up, it belongs to him because he never contracted that every absolute thing that comes into his hand belongs to the employer. Aval, amalo, aseimim lacha hayom, that you should be my general worker today, implying that everything that he does is in the master's employ, mitziyatan labalabai. So he is establishing the principle that it is possible to have a partnership even for services. And he adds, interestingly enough, you don't find this sentence very often, Ein lanu ra'aya acheret. We don't have any other proofs to this position. Avol zeh nizrak mipi chavruteinu avidei ma'aseh b'narbonu. But this was the upshot of a discussion in our group here when we had an actual practical case in Narbonne. We decided on this, we had to come to some decision, and therefore we are establishing a precedent here that even though we don't have any detailed textual proof to this position, this was the upshot of our discussion, and in fact it was decided in practice that way.
Somebody's doing research for you. I mean, in your lab. And whatever he comes up with, does that mean he has a partnership?
No, we're not talking about a partnership, but he's your employee, yeah. And it's understood that whatever he does, he's doing for you. Then whatever he finds is your property.
There's no way that he can claim that that's his creation and that he wants part of it.
There'll always be a lawsuit like that to claim it. But the issue is how the contract is written, right? If I find the real moneymaker, I will resign from Harvard University and add into my discovery. But until that happens...
But you did the research while under their auspices.
Yeah, then I'll have a lawsuit. The Rambam says, let's turn to the next page. The Rambam has, if you remember, whereas the Rambam is quite radical in his philosophical and theological position, on the issue of civil law, he's always been taking the most conservative position, and he takes that position here as well. Let's take a look. Halacha Beis. Ha'umanim shenishtatfu, u'umanu. Craftsmen who have decided to make a partnership in a particular craft. Af al pi shekanu miyadam, even if they went through the physical action of some symbolic contract, they made a kinyan suda, there was an exchange of money, and so on, eilan shutafim, there is no binding partnership. Ketzad, shnei chayatim, two tailors, or shnei ovim, or two weavers, shehitnu b'nehem shekol shiikach zeh v'zeh, b'mlachto yeh b'nehem b'shaveh. They've made two weavers or two tailors who've made an agreement that whatever they earn, they will split down the middle. Ein kan shutafot klal. There is no partnership whatsoever. She'ein adam matne l'chavero davar shelo b'olola. Because you can't sell something which does not exist. They're making a contract, a binding contract, on something which is just simply a non-tangible object that doesn't exist. Aval, im hayu lokchim habagadim b'mamon atzman, if they bought cloth with their own money, v'tofrim otam lokchim, and they sew the cloth into garments and sell them, lokchim hasheti va'ar erev otam, they buy the warp and the woof with their own money, the ogim, and weave it, umokrim, in the shtatfuga ma'ochelachubo, and they shared in the cost, in the purchase price of the raw materials, hare elu shutafim, then they are partners, the cholma sheovichu, the sar, the skar malachtam, the matza'on, the matanan, hare elu lems. Then the income is considered as ancillary to the actual sale of the objects, of the value improved in the objects from the raw material to the finished product, and therefore they are jointly partners. The Raiva here says, Amar Avraham v'rabotai horu, my teachers, and his teacher being precisely the Rav Avraham Avdezdin, whose chula we just read, rabotai horu, she'adam yochol lahaknot et atzmo lachavero v'kinyan, kedin ha'avadim, that a person can, so to speak, sell himself to his fellow man on the basis of a contract, just as if or analogous to the ancient times, there was a notion of an eved ivri, and therefore here as well. Ukeshem shematzinu l'omeret yikatshu yadai l'oseihem, and so on. So notice that he agrees with the position of the Rabbi Avraham Avdezdin, but he's giving a slightly different causal basis. The Rabbi Avdezdin said that a person can hire himself out on the basis of shirut, so in a joint group medical practice, each doctor is the employee of all the others, whereas the Raiva is basing it on a slightly different principle, namely on the principle of kinyan eved. Okay? So this is a dispute down the middle between the Sephardic position as represented by the Rambam and the position in Provence as represented by Rambam, Rabbi Yitzhak, and the Rambam.
I don't understand. The Rabbi Shlomo Bar Yochai says, you never can sell your ability. It says, like, they can't own them, you start, but they can't. The principle there is that they're trying to sell something that hasn't come into existence.
That's right, and that's why the Rambam denies.
But he's saying the Rambam is saying that you can't sell your ability.
He's saying that you can sell yourself.
Yeah. I mean, why if anybody's employed as a scientist, I don't understand. Right? It bothers me.
What bothers you?
You're selling your ability to create.
Right. And the question is, Rambam denies that sale will apply to such an abstract object. You can sell a tablecloth, you can sell a box, you can sell a car, but you can't sell your future inventions or even your current ability.
So it always has to be like a concrete thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That in ancient law, the notion of contract applied to real and concrete things. Look, we have that problem today, right? I mean, the many current, very pressing issues today about what a person can or cannot sell. Intellectual property, do you own it? Can I sell it? Can I sell one of my theorems? Or does it belong to me to the extent that it can be sold? Can a woman sell her womb to the extent that she has obligated herself to bring to term somebody else's fetus? Suppose she decides after the fourth month to have an abortion.
Really? Can she love Bali Allah?
The issue at any stage when there's a transition in the nature of society raises problems of contract as well as anything else. When dealing with new types of objects, new types of responsibilities, and the question is how the old laws are or are not modified in order to take into account these new situations. The Rambam is generally conservative on all of these issues. The most typical example, and we've done it many, many times in this shiur, is the issue of marketable securities, secondary obligations, right? According to the Gemara and according to Roman law, if Dr. Schwarber lends me $100, then I have to pay him back, but there's something that, in the language of the Gemara, is a shibud aguf. I have a personal obligation to Dr. Schwarber. It's between me and him. He can't very easily go ahead and sell my indebtedness to him to Mr. Fried, for example. Suppose he's getting worried that I'm not going to pay back and he wants to sell my debt to Mr. Fried on 90 cents on the dollar, 75 cents on the dollar. My credit is not so good. He wants cash. He's not sure he's going to get paid back. He wants to discount the note to Mr. Fried. According to the Gemara, what you need is, and according to Roman law as well, is what you need is something that's called Ma'amad Shloshtan. The three of us have to be in the same room together, and I personally transfer my obligation to Dr. Schwab or to Mr. Fried.
Outside of that,
now, of course, you can't run a modern economy that way.
Like a dollar bill, it's only the note can be transferred to someone else.
You can't. So that in the 11th, 12th, and 13th century, we find within the innovative of Rabbanim, the Rosh and others, that the idea of a note that Dr. Schwarber can then just take my note and sign it over to give it to Mr. Fried and get his money without my being there, and then Mr. Fried can go and sell it to somebody else, that began to be invented. And then by the 14th and the 15th century, there was already a market in secondary paper, right? The shach, if you remember when we were learning these laws, says that at the shuk already, and at the major markets, the principal trade was no longer in objects, in real goods, in wheat or lumber or something like that. The principal trade was already in secondary markets, in secondary paper, in Ramana, in securities. I mean, it's just like today, right? Whatever is in the Chicago Board of Trade is greatly dwarfed by what happens in the stock market. The bond market and the stock market are much larger markets, right?
So you see, there was, in order for there to be, have even been a transition from the feudal and medieval economies into the modern style of economies, you needed drastic changes in the law to allow the notion of a marketable security. If you didn't have that, then the ability of large businesses to raise capital would have just been impossible. So you have to always view this within the context of things that appear very natural to us today. I can sign a check and then you sign on the back of it and give it to somebody else and then somebody else discounts it. It was something that was completely foreign to a situation that frowned on loans in general and regarded a loan as a personal favor that, Dr. Schwab was doing to me, and then I had a personal obligation to pay him back.
That's how these Rothschilds started their bank?
Yeah, all kinds of things happen, and one should not minimize the role of the change in the legal system in facilitating these things of that. All right, let's take a look on the next page now, the Sefer Itu, which is again 12th century Provence. He sort of summarizes the situation. If you look in the right-hand column, page 3 of my handout, this is the Sefer Itu. From Yitzhak Barav Avamori of Marseille, okay? About, on the right-hand column, about half the way down, okay? V'hecha shehitilu l'kis, zemana v'zemana. Do you have it? You just run your down around here, okay? V'hecha shehitilu l'kis, zemana v'zemana. V'hitnu b'neihem. She took Adzvan Plomi, they stipulated an agreement at such a time, the whole Mashi is Damein Lehem and Hashamayim. They're just going to be joint partners in everything that comes their way. Bein b'mtziya, bein b'chol davar, whether it's in beachcombing and finding lost objects or whether it's anything else. Ika plukta bein rabuta. There was, this is a subject of dispute between the masters. Some say that a contract on or a stipulation on things which have not yet come into this world has no validity because it's a rush and go wrong. The ikamanda amar the mahani. The katab harav hafasid ta'ama, the rav hafasid, who is again the rav Avraham Avedin, the first shuva that we read. The reason for that is the chol chad v'chad na'aseh sachir u'po'eh l'chavero. The gamil al-hade amar she'sachro l'ukot m'tzio. So that's one reason why such a contract should be binding. U'mistavwa, Balaita now brings still another reason, u'mistavwa taima d'arabenu m'shulam bar kolonimus. And it seems to me, he says, that another reason is that the idea put forth by Rabbi Shulam and kolonimus, miluka, from Luca, Sheshiv Levitin Sheba Arledi, he responded to a problem that came from Arles. And remember that northern Italy and southern France were also a part of the same territory in those times. Al Shlosha Achim, there were three brothers and a sister, and apparently a sister married into a rich family. Al Shlosha Achim Shit Nuzela Zabi Kimyana Mikhsei Akotam. They made a deal with them on the property of their sister, Shenatanla Ba'ala, her husband had given her some large property. Shekol Mishi Kabel Matanam Yachotam Yachloku Shloshtam Bishaveh. If the sister gave a large gift to any one of the three brothers, they would equally divide. Ulyamim Natna Matana Lechad Mehem. Of course, then he wanted to back out of this deal.
Well, got the present.
The heishiv, ha'afal gav, te'ein adam makneh davar shelo bala olam. Even though, in principle, a person can't sell something that has not yet come into existence or into whose possession. Bahaihu hanar, the kasamki ha'adadi, since there was a mutual consideration that each one realized that the other one was relying on him, this contract is binding to the Amab Yachin Shechalku Bahu Anada Tatsaiti La'adadi Gamuimah. Okay.
So what was the
binding? The upshot thing was that this type of a contract was binding because in fact there was a present consideration, namely the pleasure that each one was taking in the other one's of participating in the deal. Since it was a mutual arrangement and they all respected one another, this is a...
So what's the binder, the hanah?
The binder is the consideration of this hanah. You have to understand this in context. What this is really doing is scraping away at the principle of Ein Adam Apnei Davar Shelo Bo Le'Olam. You have to interpret this as sort of a reformulation of trying to minimize the scope of the law which prevents contract and abstract art. Let's go a century. Yeah?
Well, but in this situation, it's no different from the detailer, it's just the Rambam.
Yeah, well, he disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam would not admit any of this. We will find that we won't study the Ramban, but the Rambam and the Ramban maintain that these contracts are invalid, and most of the other authorities come to terms with the fact that you have to admit the impossibility of such a contract. Let's come to the next page, which is the Rashba. Sha'alta. Mi shebo lishtatetim chaveiro b'chol ma sheyavimu b'inyan sol suria o b'mlachot acherot ki chatiyah o atzanim o b'yotze b'hen, whether it's in trade, in broker's commission. I don't know, those of you who were here the last time we studied this in 1976, I actually had a practical problem that had arisen roughly around the time of the shiur of a large commission that there was a real estate deal in Venezuela, right, in which there was some huge properties with about $1 million worth of commission, which were with some brokers who were had made a partnership, and then one of them managed to actually get the sale of this $15 or $20 million property, and it had a huge commission coming in, and then he wanted to say that the partnership was not binding and that he dissolved it just the day before he managed to reel in this commission, and that the case came then before the local Gulf, and sent me the problem, and we have to decide how to handle that particular case. If you remember it from 15 or 20 years ago, it was precisely this.
Remember that you had to go to South America.
Yeah, so this was...
I remember you saying that it wasn't that the reason they took to the rod is that the courts were so dishonest.
No, I didn't say
no,
that. I said that the reason
tax,
that they took it to the rod was because if they went to the regular courts, they would have to report the income and pay huge taxes on all of this. So it was not that the community in Venezuela or in Caracas was so religious that they decided all of their problems according to a din Torah. It was just that they had no recourse to the governmental courts because all of this income...
Everybody would lose.
Right, so that therefore they had agreed in advance of all business arrangements that the rod we decided. All right, in any event, this...
I'll keep quiet anyway.
Yeah, right. Okay. Tshuva. Kol mi shebo lishtadetum chaveiro b'tlal inyanim elu v'sha'in heim v'kayam v'zeh midin schirot. This is based on the principle of a person being able to hire himself out as a worker. L'ki shekol echad v'echad mehem naseh sachir eitzel chaveiro. This is the theory, a rather weak theory, but this is the theory that the Rav Bezdin gave for the possibility of partnership. Yechol adam nistaker eitzel chaveiro l'lkot lo metziyot u'titan yivarekam adela metziya metziyat abdo v'shifato v'rim ho elu shelahem yakshin in Allah metziyat abdo v'shifato v'rim lo yeh elu po el v'tan yimetziyat lo el atzmo v'gumar en sudame dvorim v'zmon shamalo l'chei shimi hayom ato imi hayom abo amal lo asen imi melacha hayom metziyato lo bala bayi kibiyitatam Yachmin and Rapapa Levaita Kishisachon Lukot Mitzioh. Kagon Akfari Atma Makabri. They were sort of going through the swamp with a basket to find all the lost stuff. The Elo HaMishtachim Harei Eid Hei Maskirim Atzman Zela Zel Lishtadelu La'aviyah Ha'asot Lachot Elu Lutzorko Lutzorok Habelo. That these people, when they're all working for each other, when they're bringing in the feed. U'mikol Makom, he says, Rishain hein lachzor behem kol zman sheyotze afilu ha'echad. But this partnership can be dissolved at any time. There cannot be any obligation on the basis of this partnership to continue in the partnership. The moment that one of them wants to withdraw and gives notification of withdrawal, he can withdraw without penalty.
But they didn't find anything yet.
For example, they haven't found anything yet, or they have found that the man just to get tired of the partnership, or he gets into a fight with his partners and so on, he can withdraw.
The partnership is binding until someone withdraws. They have to divide the income equally up to the period of withdrawal. But once they give notice and withdraw, there's no penalty to withdrawing, because he says, V'chein po'el, to be amar po'el chozer bo amchilu la'atzi hayom, v'tiv, ki livnei Yisrael abadim v'lo abadim abadim. Since he is basing the notion of this partnership on the principle of being a po'el, and since we have this assertion of Rav that a po'el chozer bo amchilu la'atzi hayom, if the whole basis of this is that of a poel, and there can never be any obligation for specific performance, you can't force somebody to do something, then you can't force this guy to be a partner either. Rashba, as usual, adheres to the strictly logical implication here, and since you're basing this whole principle on sakhir or poel, since there is never any penalty or obligation for the future of the poel to continue work, you can't penalize a doctor who wants to withdraw from the group practice even tomorrow. Okay. Even an Eved Ivri has always at any stage the right to redeem by returning the remainder of the purchase price. He can't retroactively dissolve the partnership. The man can't say after he's collected the commission that I really intended to dissolve the partnership yesterday. And therefore, there has to be a withdrawal which is testified to by witnesses. 5 minutes before I signed on the commission, before I got the check, I had already withdrawn from the partnership. The only remedy to make sure that there will be penalties into the future will be to actually deposit some money with a third person, that is, to have some money in escrow with a contract, to the extent of that, that there will be an enforceable penalty clause. And generally, that's a hard thing to do if the original contract itself is not sustainable. Okay. All right, now we'll come to a long tshuva from the 15th century of the Maharik. And this is a basic and very important tshuva on this matter, and this has a number of interesting and surprising features attached to it. We won't read the entire tshuva all the way through, but we will cover the main points. So this is Simon Kuf Pei Aleph. In Arabic, Al Dvar Hariv Asher Nablu Bein HaChachamim HaRofim, on the matter of the dispute that fell between these learned doctors, Asher Nishtatfu Bizman Yadua, they decided to have a group practice for a certain amount of time. The Katuv B'Sefer V'Ha'ed Eidim, this was written in the book of the community, and there were witnesses. They all took oaths to one another to maintain this partnership, this group practice. And they actually did engage in a common joint group medical practice for a certain amount of time. Why do you have a group practice?
Probably for your coverage, to be able to have time off where you don't have to be responsible for the illness.
Or
to have the right to do if they have them.
Or, for example, older, experienced doctors will take in a younger doctor and train him and then let him take over the bulk of the duties, and they will collect a form of retirement insurance. Various different things. Okay? Vayihiliyamim, after a while, echad mehem lakach atzmo letzad echad, then one of them withdrew, v'el hashlosha lo bakepam b'pam, v'haras matzav hashutafu. And he destroyed the state of this partnership. Ra'iti et Masha Kilpel ben Asav and Atan Kalacha Haluch Aleph Beis v'chadno Lorena of Gershon Tzu. The Hashro ki Kinyan Hayasham. They were discussing this whole matter. He's getting this brief on appeal apparently, and the original decision, the judges had were under the impression that there was an actual contract here. Ulam, ki hakatima mochacha, the depositions show shelo hayashum kinyan, that there was in fact no binding kinyan. Yuvan gam came, he talked to Vrei Harav and Lord Kainatan Yitzu, ki lo hayashum kinyan, rak hashvua. All that they really had were odes, uvelo kinyan nasu advari. And now he's going to discuss the whole aspect of this case. Is a kinyan binding? Is there an obligation without a kinyan? In general. Vehine lashon hasagata raivad mochiyah. The language of the Raivad's commentary indicates the dafkut shiyesham kinyan hu defaligo abeinu Moshe. That he disagrees with the Rambam and says that a contract at this point is binding, but only in the presence of an actual kinyan. Sharei katav ravotenu haru shadam yachol lahaknot et atzmo bekinyan kinkindin habadim. He seems to be requiring a kinyan just like an eved degree requires a kinyan. She'ein niknin ela v'kesef o'v'shtah. Omnam lashon tshuvato mochach mochiyach. There's a different source for the Raivad's opinion, which is a tshuva. V'gam below kinyan mahaniknaya shuvatim. She'arei katab v'zeh l'shono. He wrote, shutafim she'etnu shutafut, afilu mimitziyah, afilu she'ein adam makneh v'na'am kayam, Mashmel ha'ora v'dechnai ba'alma b'li shum kinyan shekna'am kayam. That it's valid even without a kinyan. Sharei lo yizkir l'shum kinyan ela l'shum t'na'am. He only said stipulation, he didn't use the phrase kinyan. But l'shum t'na'i mashmel ha'ora b'lo kinyan. K'demashmel v'shulei perak ha'po'alim v'chani makneh shomer chinam liyot k'shoer. The phrase makneh just means a stipulation, an agreement, without the presence of a formal kinyan.
Couldn't they have made like a kinyan suda?
Well, he says that they didn't. There's no evidence in the protocol. The evidence from the protocol is the contract. Okay. So he goes on. We don't need to follow all the detail of this to prove that the word deny. Mean implies kinyan. Okay. So now four lines to the bottom on that same page. Nirala niyataiti. Diyesh lomar. It seems to me, he says, the Masha Matzrik Kinyan Basahasagato, what he reason that the Raivad requires a Kinyan, Hainu Kadesha lo yuchal hashutaf lachzor. That's to guarantee that the no partner can withdraw from future services without a penalty. Bahainu Kamar, Shadam Yakol Laknot Atzmo Bikinyan, Bukalukalamar, Shalo yuchal lachzor. Sharei Gufo Kanoi Kedin Havadim, Ukubi Amar Rabba. The Parakama Vikdushin and Parakama goes Avatra, Eved Ivri Gufol Kanoi, Aval, Gitshuva, Shaheshiv, Mishutafim, Shahai Hitnu, the Tnai Kayam, the Mashmada Pilo, the Lokin, Yanat Nai Kayam, Haino Dakka, Kokama, the Loha, Dave Hashuta. The Vadai in the Tnu, the Shtateku, Manotu, Masa, Matan, the Yachiku, Stam, Bulishi, Omar, Fadmeim, Kozrani, be the Vadai Shakoma, Shevichu, Havila Ems. A stipulation and agreement is binding, and until someone withdraws all monies that are taken in a joint, the achagav sheechad mehem chozer bo liachalchem lo mahani chazarato ela mikan ve'elech. The withdrawal applies to all income from now and into the future. Aval kol kama delo hadal beit no kayam v'haschar le'emtza. But teidah v'kenu sharei eno maskir v'tshuvato din ha'avadim ולגם לא להיב די יפישו ידי לעשות בהם. ועד רבו מוכיח לשנו דאין נעשה לו כעבד אלא כסחי ופועל בעלמא דאין גופו כנות. So the Maharik of Yosef Cologne first of all establishes the principle, and I'm trying to read it into the Raivad, that you can have two types of joint practices. One based on the stipulation in which any partner can withdraw at any moment that he wants without penalty. And secondly, a partnership where there will be an enforced, you have to, you cannot withdraw from the practice, or of course, you know, they say you cannot, but if you do, you have to, the other partners are entitled to demand a severe payment as a penalty for your withdrawal. So in contrast to the Rashba, who says that this is all based on the notion of a po'el, of a sakhir, and po'el chozer bo v'chatzi hayom, the first statement that the Maharik makes is that that if you make a real, complete contract, then there can be no possibility of withdrawal either. Let's read about, go down about halfway down, a little two fifths away down that line, down that same column. After this discussion of the Raiva, Yagati umatzati shuvat she'ela bein shuvot acherot, I found a particular tshuva in an unedited collection of various tshuvot. The katuv sham v'zel shano shnayim shenishtaku b'kol ma shi'avichu hevichu le'emtza. The im omer echad l'tzach atzmi hervachti v'lekach nitkavanti einon ne'eman she'ein apoel yichol l'omar l'atzmi hervachti. Even the sakir who mistam l'tzach maskir ma'biyah. ואם הביא ראיה שחזר בו קודם הגברה כמובן על עצמו, ואם החבר אותו בכלל שהרוויח בחזרה ואילך עד כאן לשנה תשובה. ואם כי מזמור יותר מהו, even though this is a orphan poem, there's no, we don't know the author of this particular תשובה is, לא פירה שם מי בעל דברים הללו, מכל מקום הן הן דברי הרייבת שכתב בתשובתו, מסיים בה ש... שאם העביר ראיה שחזר קודם הגבוהה שקנה לעצמו, מהני לי חזרתו מכאן באלף, פרענו פרפישוס מדברי הווי וצל ואותי, כי אין סוד גם דבר יצא. אוקיי, נשלח. וגם מלמד עלי לפועל, אין סוד. אוקיי, now let's skip let's go to the next column, the left-hand column, on this same matter. He then summarizes all the various positions, including the position that we saw in the name of Rav Kulonimus, that on this particular Hanna'ah, that each one is listening to the other, that is a contract. I don't want to go through all the different sources that he brings. On the bottom, let's say, Havela Fasha Rabbeinu Tampia, Shetosefta, Belo Tunyen, Kavishis Narama, Maite Borosha, etc. Let's turn to the next page. On the left hand column, the Nirala Nyata Ati, about 15 lines down from the top, 12 to 15 lines from the top. Mira la diata iti, the afal gashi inyan ashera shneshla binyan ashlosha achim hayasham kinyan, mikomo mishuvat rabbi nikolanimus lemanu shigam bolo kinyan, mahani tnaya shutafim kirmaiti rabbeinu, lobo ayam yachin shohaku bugaral de pashti bupshita lo kinyan mayu dunu hakakam, vahein mishifei psikta. The hain hain divrei haniknim b'yam b'amirah k'vitev rabbeh b'ktivot k'ak anasei v'chein b'gum arev m'shtavet b'lokim b'sivar abbas b'yay kashim etc. V'chein rabbi meir u'miyachav sh'rabbeinu tam, after the fact that rabbeinu tam, rabbeinu kalonimus, וגם הרב בעל האיתו, וכן רבנו מאיר, המהר"ל מרוטנברג, כולו סבירו לו בתנאי השותפים מהנים ולא שום קניין, that the stipulations of the partners is binding even without a kinyan. וכדפירש רבנו קולונימוס ומערב הטעם בהי הנועד הקצייתי, והביאו ראיות לדבריהם, כדכתב למיילו לשונם, I'm saying even without a kinyan, a stipulation can even be binding as far as the future is concerned, okay? ואפילו בעניין שלו בא לעולם איתנו כרחי כפי שסתאל בן קיין, אפילו נאמר לדברי רבי משה והרמב"ן, even if we're going to say that according to the Rambam, and the Rambam אינו מועיל, such a stipulation is not binding, מכל מקום, מאחר וכל המרבותא חולקין על רבינו משה והרמב"ן, since all of these many different authorities disagree with the Rambam and the Rambam, Kilikrishis, the Gam HaMaharam de Batrahu, Cholek HaRabbeinu Moshe, and the Maharam Yerutenberg, who is the latest authority, disagrees with the Rambam and the Ramban. Kilikrishis Perel, Ra'oilu den Hoke Rabbeinu Tam, Ra'oilu Kalonimus, Farab Bala Itu, the Rabbim Ninu, the Gam Rabbi Meir de Batrahu, the Kavatai Chai, Ukamosha Anomim, the Meyabai Barab, of Elech, Kaimalan Kibatrahu. We always follow the later authorities, the time of Shum, the Batroi, you're not time of the Kamala, you get told me not. The later authorities have seen the earlier authorities, just as we have, and if he sees fit to reject them, that means that we can follow his position. That's why we always find the Babli rather than Yerushalmi, because the Babli was concluded later, about 100 years later, than the Yerushalmi. So the Talmud is done, but so it's fair. For Yadav et ha-men of Bnei Ravah, it's fair enough. We have a gap of Shikha Dachad Bnei Ravah Adif, the Ketrei of Bnei Babel, even though the scholars in Eretz Yisrael were worth more than the scholars in Babel, to the Ikhav to look back on Adif, Mikol Mokam Kavaha Lachakatav in Babli, Mishim Dabar Gaw, who could agree. והכי נמי, יש לנו להלוך מאותו הטעם עצמו אחר הפוסקים האחרונים, חייבתי אני ידעתי, וכן מנהגנו בכל מקום להלוך אחרי הפוסקים האחרונים, וכל שכן הוכה דרוב הפוסקים חולקים על רבינו משה ויש לאחר הרוב הפוסקים. Okay. So he's saying, first of all, we will simply reject the Rambam's position and maintain the position of the later authorities that a contract of this nature is binding on the basis of contract law, basically from this idea of Rabbi Polonius, that since there was some consideration of each one sharing with the others, then that is a binding consideration, and this contract is binding even to the future, and even if there was no contractual form. So he's establishing the validity of such a contract for group practice, for example, above and beyond what even the Rashba had to say, and he's making it binding even though